know, 40, 50, 60 years ago, some of them very recently. But when you can find biblically based songs and get to sing them to the glory of our Savior, what a blessing. And 2 Peter chapter 1, we're in verses 1 through 4 still, just trying to introduce and still on the launch pad to really get into the book, or to the letter. We really covered verses 1 and 2 last Wednesday night. We're going to really dig in a little deeper to verses 3 and 4 tonight. But I am so thankful for the power and the promises of God in our lives when we trust in Jesus. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray together one more time, and then we'll read our text. So we'll pray, we'll read, and then you can be seated, and we'll get into the word tonight. But before we read the word, I just, as always, want to remind you, this is the very word of God. We heard testimony of a lady who's a little confused about that, a little struggling with that, whether to believe it or not to believe it, what to believe. But I stand here tonight knowing that this is the word of God. And when we read the text tonight, we're going to hear from God. You know, when we pray, we talk to him. When we read the Bible, he talks to us. And so we're going to hear from God tonight, and I just pray that he'll speak to us through his word. I'm going to ask Brother Dean if you would lead us in prayer before we read our text. Amen. While you're still standing, 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Please be seated. Last time we were challenged to humbly serve and live out our calling in Christ as the apostle and servant of Jesus Peter did. We were reminded that we need to receive the precious faith of Christ and to know we have it, to have the assurance that comes through him, and to grow in knowledge, multiplying in blessings like grace and peace because of his goodness to us. And it happens through knowledge. I want you to see that in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And grace and peace are things that we want in our lives. And we want them to increase, to multiply exponentially in our lives. But that only happens when we know him. And I just want to remind you tonight, it's not just about knowing about him, it's knowing him. It's not because your grandpa knows him, or your grandma knows him, or your mom or dad knows him, or your brother and sister knows him. It's because you know him. And you know him by faith and by the word of God. And so to know him and to grow in that knowledge. And then we come to verses 3 and 4, and we want to rely on the power and the promises of God. And I just mentioned this as we ended last week, and we're going to walk through it now. Number one, notice the provision that he gives. The provision, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God, in his power as God, has given to us everything that has to do with life and godliness. Real quick question, how powerful is God? And when you say all, do you really mean all? I mean, just comprehend that for just a second. Just try to let that soak in. The Almighty has given to you everything that has to do with life and godly. So I'm looking at myself in the mirror and saying, I'm missing something. Like I somehow or another, I haven't appropriated that. I haven't apprehended that. But I'm just telling you that God has done so. He's done it. He's given it to you freely by his grace. He has given it. This is the provision of God. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us. Philippians 4:19, Paul writes and says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How rich is God? You can't even put it into words, right? It's just everything is his. He spoke it all into existence. All of the galaxies in the universe, he made them. All of the stars, the sun and the moon, this planet, every living thing that exists, he made it. And everything is his, and he supplies everything that we need. In Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he has blessed us both here and now eternally. So it's according to God's almighty power, he's given us everything that has to do with life and godliness. Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord has given us in the covenant of grace everything that we can possibly want. There is nothing you can ask for. There is nothing you can need but what is contained in the covenant of grace. The reality is he's given us everything. You say, well, I want $1 million. I want a Lamborghini. I want a mansion. I want a helicopter. I want a private jet. Amen. Everything I need, I have in Christ. And you can think about those things as wants, and you can daydream all you want to, but at the end of the day, when you come face to face with our mortality, with reality, with heaven and hell, Jesus has given you everything. And I wouldn't trade my salvation that I have for a nanosecond for anything else. I have everything in Christ. This is his provision. God has done so by his goodness and by his grace, and it's by his divine power. So friend, listen, if you ever start feeling sorry for yourself, thinking what you don't have, comparing yourselves to other people, just remember who Christ is and what he's done for you. Remember what you have in Jesus. We sang Love Lifted Me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Listen, that's what Jesus did. I was on my way to hell. It's what I deserve. And when I cried out to Jesus, he saved me and he's given me everything. That's what he's provided. Life and godliness are found in him. Everything that has to do with life, that's life everlasting, and it's life that you live now, right? It's everlasting life, but it's also your life here and now. He's given you everything you need. And then godliness, how to live in a godly way, how to live in devotion to him. Godliness has the idea of being devoted to God. It has the idea of being someone who is committed to God. It's somebody who's walking in the way of God, and he's given you everything you need to do that. So, friends, you and I are without excuse. Just like the unbelievers out there are without excuse in their unbelief, he's shown them, he's made known himself to them, and they're without excuse in their unbelief. You and I are without excuse in when we don't live a godly life. He's given us everything. So it's provision. Number two, pathway. How does he do it? He's given us, by his divine power, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So how does it happen? The pathway for this power and promises, the power and promises of God, is through the knowledge of him, through knowing him. In John 17:3, the Bible says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus' prayer to the Father is that you would know him, that we would know him, that others would know him. He wants to be known. He's not afar off. He's not hidden himself. He's made himself very well known in creation. He's made himself very well known in our conscience, that we know what's right and wrong. He's made himself known above all through the Word of God. And when Jesus went to the cross, when he died and rose again, that thing wasn't done in a corner. The whole world knew. He's made himself known. The pathway is through knowing him. It's what What Peter is trying to say to these people, and you get it, it's in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. These things that God wants to give us, his power and his promises are coming through knowing him, not just knowing about him. In Philippians 3, in verse 10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, Paul's writing about the fact that he hasn't attained yet, like he hasn't made it across the finish line yet. This is where, you remember, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. You remember that? It's right there. You can read it later. But just get this. What Paul is saying is that through the suffering I'm going to endure in this life, I get to know Jesus better. When I suffer as a Christian, when I suffer as a believer, when people persecute you because of your faith, you get to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ and you know him better. You guys get that? When you endure hardship with somebody, doesn't it make you closer to them? You think about the band of brothers. You read about people, soldiers. Most what I've read about is World War II, so that I know a little better than others. But every war that's ever been fought, when men stand shoulder to shoulder and fight an enemy together, when they suffer and they endure hardship together, they create a bond that's unbreakable. Well, think about it in your family. Think about hard times that you've gone through as your family and struggles and trials that you face together as a family. Many times those things make you stronger. They put you together in ways nothing else can. And when you suffer because of your faith in Jesus, it brings you together with Christ. It bonds you to him in a way that nobody else can understand. And I'm just telling you that the pathway is through knowing him. And it's not just through reading your Bible, but it's also your lived experience knowing him through suffering together with him. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So I'm just here to tell you tonight that you can know God. And maybe some of you are like, well, yeah, obviously. But to me, it's not so obvious. And I don't think it's so obvious to the rest of the world, and I'm not so sure it's obvious to all believers. You can know God. You can know him. And your knowledge of him can increase more and more to know him. This isn't just a cold apprehension of the gospel. This is a knowledge that transforms your life because you know him. So, I don't know, some of you guys have been saved for a little bit. Some of you have been saved a really long time. Have there ever been times in your life, in your saved life, where God just revealed some things to you? Like he just made you know him better? Maybe you were praying and you opened your Bible and you read it and God just showed you something and you just got to know him better and you felt that. Or maybe you were going through something difficult in your life. Maybe you're driving down the road singing along to the radio worshiping Jesus and he just made himself known to you in a deeper way. Am I the only one that drives along singing to the radio, singing along with the radio? Am I the only one that does that? I don't know about y'all, but when I pull up to the stoplight and I see somebody singing their head off, I'm like, they got to be worshiping Jesus right now. No way anything else is going on. They just don't even care. I'm just a sleepless night and you're praying and God makes himself known in a deeper way to you. So many experiences in my life where God just shows up. That's what I'm talking about. You say, well, you come to church and you preach or you teach, you go to Sunday school class or you read a good book or you read your Sunday school quarterly or whatever and you learn some things. That's all good. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about not just learning some facts about God. I'm talking about knowing him. And that's where we're talking about. This pathway to him giving us all the things we need for life and holiness, it comes through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. What does he mean calling us to glory? Well, for one thing, When you trust in Jesus, you have everlasting life. And you are ordained by God to step into glory with Jesus one day. One day you're going to be glorified and you're going to be made like Jesus and you'll see him as he is because he's going to make you in the same way that he is. And you're going to enter into glory and be in his glory forever and ever and ever. Anybody excited about that? Or are you just like, yeah, no biggie. No. I'm saying that there's going to be a time when there's no more sin, sorrow, and death, and you're going to get to be a part of that. No more sun, no more moon, because Jesus himself lights that place for eternity. What's it going to take to get you people to be excited? I mean, I'm excited to leave this old world behind and be with him forever. I'm just saying, glory is where he's bringing us to, but it's not just eternity there. It's experiencing his glory now. And virtue, experiencing and living out virtue now, that's the goodness of God. Living in the goodness of God and experiencing the goodness of God and sharing the goodness of God with others because of what he's doing in your life. So it's the pathway. Number one, the provision. Number two, the pathway. Number three, the purpose. Because he has called us to glory and virtue. That's the purpose. He has called us to glory and virtue. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. He has called you unto his kingdom and glory. That's the end of it, right? How about Romans 8:29 through 30? Actually, just back it up. Let's do Romans 8:28 through 30. Are you guys familiar with this? Right here? Listen, if you don't know this one yet, you ought to highlight it, underline it, mark it in your Bible. Take a screenshot on your phone, your Bible app on your phone, something. You need this one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Does this verse say everything's good? Does it say all your circumstances are going to be good? No, but what it does say that God's going to work everything out for good. We've seen a lot of bad things happen last week. Tragic things, horrific things. But listen, God has already, you've seen God take horrific things and turn them around for good. And he's still doing that. And he can do that on a global scale, and he can do that in the tiny details of your life and everything in between. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. I just want you to get this. If your faith is in Jesus, you will be like Jesus one day. God has foreordained it. You will be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. Now, he wants to do that in your day-to-day life. He wants to work in your life so you'll put off the old man and put on the new man. You are a new creation in Jesus, and he wants you to live that out in your day-to-day life. And we're working on that, right? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And that's the reality. Day by day, he wants me to look more and more and more like Jesus. But one day, he's going to cast off this corrupt flesh. He's going to do away with his carnal mind. And he's going to completely transform me. He's going to finish the work that he's already begun. And I will be conformed to the image of Christ. And if you believe in Jesus, so will you. He's called us. And I love the tense. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's already done. It's already done. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become the sons of God, and that's what he did to make us like him. So the provision, the pathway, the purpose, glory and virtue. Number four, the promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. What are these exceeding great and precious promises? For one thing, he's called us to his kingdom and glory. For one thing, he's called us to glory and virtue. For one thing, he's going to make us like Jesus. And if that weren't enough, it's everything that comes with trusting in Jesus. Okay, before you were saved, where were you headed for eternity? Before you were saved, was the wrath of God on you? Before you were saved. Before you were saved, were you enslaved to sin? Before you were saved, were you a child of the devil? That's what my Bible says. I mean, we could go on and on where we were. We were without God and without hope in the world. We were children of the darkness. We loved the darkness rather than light because our deeds were evil. And our deeds were evil because we were evil. We weren't sinners because we sinned. That was our nature. We sinned because that was our nature. We were sinners. That's who we were. But you've been sanctified. You've been glorified. You've been washed. You've been made new. You've been forgiven. And you've been set free. Exceeding great and precious promises. And let me tell you something, friends. God always keeps his promises. The promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. He's going to get glory by doing everything that he said he would do. Do you understand that there's not a human being who's going to be in heaven eternally who deserves to be there? Not one human being's in heaven because they deserve to be. I mean, you say, well, what about Jesus? He was a man. Yes, I get that. Jesus himself excluded. Not one person created, one human being created by God deserves to be there. Nobody's there on their own merits. It's only by his grace. Exceeding great and precious promises. Let us hold fast. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Matthew Henry said, there is in the promises of God a suitable supply for every need. They are our bread, water, clothing, health, light, defense, and strength. And I want you to get this. God has promised to provide for every need that you have. Is that true? Has he promised to provide for your needs? My God shall supply all your need in Christ Jesus. Okay, so maybe not everything we want, but everything we need, God's got that covered. You know what that means? I don't have to worry about tomorrow. If God can take care of the flowers of the field, he can take care of me. If God takes care of the birds, he can take care of me. And he's going to take care of you. But it's so much more than that. I mean, I don't know that you are getting this, because everything you need is supplied by God. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Do you have any idea how many billions of people on this planet are worried about tomorrow? But you don't have to do that. You can lay yourself down and sleep tonight because God's got you. Exceeding great and precious promises. So it's everything you need and so much more. Everywhere I look in the Bible, I see promises of God. I want you to think about that. This whole story starts with that, doesn't it? You start in Genesis 1 and you read through all the history of the world, and then you get up to chapter 11 and there's this guy named Abram, and God says, I want you to get out of your country to a land I'm going to show you. I've got some things I'm going to do in your life, Abram. You guys remember that? And he promises him a place, and he promises him a people, and he promises him a person, that seed in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. It started with God making promises to Abraham, and he's been making promises and keeping them ever since. The promises. Number five, the participation. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The participation, we get to be partakers of the divine nature. Now, I want you to make sure you don't misunderstand this tonight. You get to be a partaker of the divine nature. This does not mean that you become a god. Okay, now there, you may be like, obviously, but that's not obvious to everybody in our community. Some people think we were gods, are gods, will be gods. You're not going to be a god. You get to be a partaker of the divine nature. What does that mean? That you are going to be like Jesus. He's going to glorify you. He's going to do away with your sin forever. You get to experience that with him. He's put his spirit in you, and he's made you a new creature in Christ. We sang, yet not I, but through Christ in me. That comes from Galatians 2:20, which says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He has given us his nature. He's made us like himself because we've been born again by his Spirit. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the part of you, the inner man that's been made new by God, has completely been transformed. That's who you are in Christ, and one day he's going to let the rest of your body catch up to that. We're part of the divine nature. Let me tell you what else it doesn't mean, in case you've watched too many Hollywood movies. It does not mean that when you die, that your spirit goes out and becomes part of this divine presence. No. Have you ever seen nonsense like that in a movie? Somebody dies and their spirit just kind of floats out into this. I thought the sound effects were helpful. Come on. That's not what happens. If you are not in Christ, when your spirit leaves your body, you will awaken in torments and in hell. But if you are in Christ, when you die, your spirit will be in the presence of Jesus eternally. And you'll be made like him because of what he's done for you. Number 6, the protection. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I was a prisoner to sin. I was enslaved by it. I was in shackles and chains. But when I called out to Jesus, he forgave me. He delivered me. He set me free. And sin has no hold on me anymore. I have escaped the corruption that is in the world through the desires, sinful desires of the flesh. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if the Son has made you free, friend, you are free indeed. Sin has no hold on you anymore. And you have escaped that. That is the protection of God. He delivers you. And it's not something you do. It's something that he does. And he gives you more and more and more protection the more you know him. The closer you get to Jesus, the less you want any part of this world. The desires of the flesh that used to control you now disgust you. Is that true for anybody? I mean, the things that you at one time lived for, now you hate. I loved them and I lived for them and now I hate them. And God help me whenever I fall, if I fall into some temptation, there's no pleasure in that for me. I hate it. And I want God to deliver me from it. You guys understand what I'm saying? We all fall sometimes, but that's not our heart. It's not our desire because God has delivered us from that. We have escaped that and it has no control over us. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we close in prayer tonight. I have no idea what might be on your heart tonight. I just know this. God's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And if you want to, you have them by faith. Let me see if I can make this clear. You have them by faith. He has freely given them to you. But sometimes people give you something and you don't even know you have it. Like you don't appreciate it. You haven't apprehended it. Like you're not experiencing it in your heart and mind and your life. And what I'm trying to tell you is they're yours. But sometimes we don't live like they're ours. But the more you know God, the more you know Jesus, the more you get to enjoy and appreciate and take in and live out the promises that he's given. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I'm thankful for everyone who's come together tonight and for anybody who might be watching online. I pray that anyone who is hearing this message, if they've never been born again, that even right now they would turn away from their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for them and rose again. By grace, We're saved through faith. We're justified by faith. We're saved only by trusting in Christ alone. So I pray that our faith would be in you and you alone tonight. And I pray that those who have believed, you'll help us to follow you, to live for you, to know you more and more through the word of God and by the power of your Spirit. Forgive our sins. Watch over us as we go to our homes and our places tonight and through the rest of this week. Lord, please help us. We're nothing without you. There have been a lot of prayer requests mentioned tonight. Please be with those who are sick and hurting, families who have lost loved ones. But God, we're encouraged by what looks to be a great awakening and a revival, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And I pray that the testimony of Jesus will spread like wildfire, that many will come to genuine faith in Jesus, and that it will be long-lived and burn bright in these last days. Please help. Please bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Is there any last words or announcements before we go home tonight?